But now let's go ahead and give it up for everybody that is watching online right now or joining us in the middle of our Blueprint series. We want to tell you thank you so, so much for being here today on Father's Day. We're in the middle of Father's Day, and maybe some of you are saying, why is the guy up there that is not a father going to preach to us on Father's Day? And I want to come to you and tell you as humbly as I know how, no, I am not a father, but I do know what it's like to be fatherless. Over 10 years ago, I lost my dad. And so some of you, you know what that's like. Father's Day is a great day for everybody that's putting up their pictures on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and everything's good and great. But today be a very, very difficult day for you. And I know absolutely what it feels like to be an orphan. I know absolutely what it feels like to feel fatherless. And so I think I can come to you this morning with a little bit of clout in the fact that I know what it's like to be on the other side of things on Father's Day, on the darker side of things. And what I would tell you is this, and I can tell you as a living and breathing testimony, is that I've never been fathered more than I have in my life right now. My father, Jesus, has been the best dad that I could ever, ever ask for. And happiest place of my life. And I'm also have a spiritual dad in my life who has fathered me over the last 6 years. And I can't ever approach this stage without giving him the honor that he deserves. And that's Pastor Andy Heiss. And he's been my spiritual father. Yeah. You should clap because he's awesome. And I'm so thankful for him. He really has been like a dad to me for the last 6 years. There's so many times where I'll take my stuff to him and just get his wisdom, get his advice. Most of the time, though, I'm just calling him up like, hey, man, the game's on. Can I come over? And every time, literally every time, he's like, boy, yeah, you can come on over. Bring some food, though, right? Every time, right? So yeah, he's always been there for me, and I'm so thankful that he's let me have the stage today and talk on Father's Day. And today we're actually going to be talking really about, so fitting, about the cost of following Jesus and what does it look like to really be fathered by Jesus and choose Jesus in your life. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Before you do that, look at someone next to you and say, you ain't ready. Come on. Now look at your second choice. I want you to look at them and tell them, hey, God must love you because you're sitting next to me today. Come on. Yeah. We're going to be talking about sin as well and that pride you got because you just did that and I can't believe it. Oh, man. All right, Colossians chapter 3. It says, so put to death. Everybody say death. Death. Not the typical thing you won't be shouting in church, right? So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world, because these sins, they have the anger of God is coming through them. For those who live in this type of life, they reveal they do not know Christ. You used to do these things in your old life when you were still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful. Everybody say, old. Say in your best old person voice, old. Oh, some of you can't do it. It's okay. Your old sinful nature and all these wicked deeds, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like Him. Hey, let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive into this message in week 3 of Blueprints and talk about the cost of following Jesus, okay? So God, we love you, and Jesus, we just lift you up today as our Heavenly Father on Father's Day. Jesus, you are the most celebrated Father in this room. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing in this incredible church, Jesus. Pour out your Spirit on us, Father. Speak to hearts, Father, I cannot speak to, and preach a message, God, that I cannot preach through your Spirit. God, we love you and we praise you. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. Now, how many of you in here, I need some interaction, okay? How many of you in here have ever had something that cost you something that you weren't anticipating the price of, okay? Y'all are a lot more participative than the first service. Sweet, don't tell them that, okay? I remember a time when I had to buy a $34 gas can, okay? And I want to give you the preface to the entire story. But when I was thinking something that has cost me something that I just wasn't ready to buy, it was a $34 gas can. It was actually in our first year of marriage. I remember talking to Michelle and telling her the story, and she was like, yep, first year of marriage, definitely the hardest year of marriage. And we were going, I was actually, I was going to speak at a conference, and I'm just playing. Pastor Andy was speaking at the conference, and I follow him everywhere, okay? And so he was speaking at a conference in Birmingham, and we were following him down there, and I was like, Michelle, girl, go ahead. Yeah, that's what I'd say back then. First, girl. And now I'm like, hey, beautiful. You know, like stuff like that. And I was like, hey, will you get us a hotel? Now, let me give you a little bit of background story about Michelle and I, okay? I am the high maintenance one, okay? I am the spender. She is the saver, okay? I like to think of myself as the investor, okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm the risk taker, you know, I'm the investor is what I like to believe in my skinny jeans, okay? And she's definitely more the saver. So I'm looking at Michelle and I'm like, hey, Michelle, get us a hotel room. And she's like, okay, baby, I'll get us a hotel room. Didn't know what I was asking, okay? So we go down to Birmingham, Pastor Andy preaches a message, all these kids get saved. It's awesome and incredible. And we go back to the hotel. Didn't realize it wasn't hotels, motel, okay? Number one, right? Nothing good ever happens in the motel. Ask Snoop Dogg. Okay, and we go to the motel, and first off, like I show up, like I'm just happy, you know. All these kids have gotten saved, and it's been an incredible night, and everything's starting to get late, just a little bit late. And like I walk into the front office, and the girl that's behind the counter is talking to her boyfriend, or her bae, or her boo, or her shawty, or whatever you call it, right? And so like I walk in, and like I'm just sitting there for about 20 minutes, like. I'm a Christian, you know, patience is fruit of the spirit. I'm just gonna wait right here. You know, like on the inside, I wanna punch someone, okay? Like, let me get real. Little ears wanna punch somebody, okay? They really are very little, okay? And so I'm sitting there. Finally, like I walk up, she's like, here's the key to your room. I was like, okay, cool. So I get the key to the room, and then we go to the room, which you go from the outside to the door, right? Okay, right? So, and like, here's my thing. Let me give you a disclaimer, okay? I'm not like I don't want to stay in the penthouse of the hotel, right? I just don't want to stay in the motel, okay? Like, so like, we may be broke by the time we leave, but I slept good, amen, right? So that's what I want. That's all I'm looking for, okay? And so it's not that hard. And so we go into the motel and we open the door. It's like a scary movie, okay? Like the door's like, you know, like there's a dead rat right in front of me. There's a creepy clown over in the corner just laughing at me. I'm just playing, none of that happened, okay? But the bed wasn't made up and I feel like there could have been a roach in there, okay? And so I'm like, no, Michelle, you got us this terrible room. And she's crying by this point. I'm like, we're going back to Coleman and we're just gonna drive all the way back home, or we're gonna drive all the way back to Birmingham to watch Pastor Andy reach and redeem and help save the lost through the life of Jesus Christ. I start preaching to her. We start going back to Coleman. And you know, one thing I didn't anticipate the cost of whenever I said yes to being married was a passenger seat driver. Can I get an amen from all the fellas, right? You know what I'm saying? She's learned death to self. We're talking about that. She's listening to this message. I have too, okay? Doesn't do it as much. But I remember when we first got married, she'd be over in the passenger seat. She'd be like, Travis, like just scared about everything. Like I would just barely drift off the road. Or my phone would just like buzz. She'd be like, quit texting and driving. I'm like, I'm not even doing anything right now. Like, or I'd be stopping about, you know, 100 yards in front of somebody. She would like grip and like we're about to hit them. And like, that's gonna help you, right? If we smash into a car and it starts to snow just a little bit, but it's like Alabama. Like the snow doesn't stick unless we have like that snow apocalypse or something like that, right? Crazy. And so it's starting to snow just a little bit, and it's a late evening, and we're driving back home, and my beautiful wife, she just falls to sleep, right? And on the inside, I said, thank you, Jesus. And she's just sitting over there, just looking all sorts of beautiful and snoring, and it's amazing. And I'm like, okay, a little peace, a little quiet right now, right? And then I felt this, doo, doo, doo. And I was like, Michelle gets up, Travis, right? And then it's like, doo, 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 doo. We ran out of gas. And so, look, I look over at her and I said, don't you say a word. And we pull over to the side of the road on I-65. For those joining us from Arab and Jasper, you might not know where this is at, but if you've ever head northbound on I-65 coming from Birmingham, maybe going to Huntsville or something like that, we broke down at the half mile to the 304 exit. And it's starting to snow a little bit more by this point. And Michelle's like, we gotta call somebody. I was like, we're not calling anyone. I'm a man. I would get up in my skinny jeans, in my pleather jacket that I bought for like $5, and I will walk all the way to get us some gas. Anything for you, my beautiful bride, right? And so like, she's like, no, we need to call somebody. I get up out of the car, I don't even say anything. I get out of the car, I leave my wife sitting right there on the side of the road. I know, terrible, terrible husband. This is a true story, I promise. And I walk and I go into the gas station and it's like they knew, you know? Like I walk into the gas station, I got this snow and sleet on me and I go into the gas station and I'm like, hey, I didn't say it like that. I was like, hey, ma'am, where are the gas cans? And she's like, they're back there. Like, gotcha. And I'll walk back and I'm looking at this gas can, this $34, like 10 ounce gas can. I had to carry it like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know what they're doing, okay? Always keep some gas with you. So I get it, I'm spending $50 by this point. I get the gas can, I walk all the way back. I've walked over a mile in the snow at this point, and I start to pour the gas. Guess what? We don't have the right funnel to pour gas, and we had to call someone by that point, and they had to come and pick us up. But that was definitely a time in my life where I was not anticipating the cost of the scenario that I was going through. And here's honestly what I think happens a lot of times. As Pastor Andy and the team, we were prepping for this message. I think what happens a lot of times, especially amongst people that have grown up in church all of their lives, is we don't anticipate the cost of following Jesus. We don't anticipate what it really means. What is life really like to follow Jesus, right? Because here's what happens with the devil. A lot of times is that he gets us into this passive mode where we just become very religious in our thought process, or we just become just church people, right? So we go from maybe even this day where we've started to follow Jesus and we've had this bold declaration of faith and we say, God, I will do anything for you. I will help build your church, God. I will plug into anything I have to, God. I will worship God freely and do everything I can. But at some point in time, we see it happen all the time, is that the devil gets us into this passive place instead of a progressive place. We go from being someone who is just sold out, you know, you've heard the term on fire for God, to a place of just saying, I'm just gonna do this thing, but not really count the cost. I think we really need to understand, what does it mean to truly follow Jesus? Because I wanna let you know, you're sitting in a very dangerous church. You that are watching, you're watching a very dangerous church, because the vision behind this church is not for you to be passive. It's for this church to be progressive, for this church to be very powerful. There's a reason why we say we want everyone. We say everyone. We don't mean most people. We don't mean a high attendance compared to other churches. We say that everyone should be rebuilt, restored, and revived through the power and the miracle works of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? That's what we believe here. There's a vision behind what we value here at Desperation Church, and we don't want our people to just sit back without counting what the true cost is. But there's a practical way for you to walk it out individually. In fact, Jesus starts to really give it to us in Luke 14, if you got your Bibles. It said, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, everybody say disciple. Come on, preach it back to me, disciple. You must hate everyone else by comparison, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers, sisters, yes, even your own self. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you first count the cost. For who would begin construction on a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's a person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or a king. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the army of 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send delegations to discuss the terms of peace with the enemy still far away. So you, he's talking to us, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. I want to tell you this, is that salvation is absolutely free, but discipleship will cost you everything. To truly follow Jesus, you have to come to a place in your heart, your head, all of you, to say, I'll give up everything because of you, Jesus. You want to be his disciple? You want to walk? You have to be willing to say, God, I've given my life. I've given my heart over to you, but now I'm gonna give you my life. I'm gonna give everything over to you. I'm gonna walk in the daily step by step by step by step. To be a disciple is to be close. To be a disciple is to not just be a follower of Jesus, is to be with Jesus at all points in time. Some of us in here, we need to understand and know before we take another step and we just keep on walking. We need to know the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. And I asked Pastor Andy if I could tell a certain story that some people might not think is appropriate for church, and I'll give a disclaimer after that story's over. He was more excited about the story than I was, so I knew, okay, well, thank you for that. But I remember when I first started following Jesus, okay? Now, you got to understand something. I didn't really grow up much of a church kid, and I was just a guy that I knew Jesus had saved my soul, and I was just in love with him, okay? I was the crazy kid, just all about Jesus. I was at school at the University of Alabama of Birmingham, go Blazers, okay? And I was walking around class to class. I'd just tell people about Jesus. I'd just shout at somebody, be like, hey, you, Jesus loves you. And they'd be like, yeah. I ain't got no scripture to really like tell you why, but I just know he does, man. All right, have a good day, right? I would just walk around, hey, like, hey, you're awesome. I'm awesome. Let's do a small group, right? There's no scripture to back that up. Let's just hang out sometime. I'll just tell everybody that I could about Jesus. There were so many times I remember I would walk out of class and go into my car and just start crying, just thinking of how I was an orphan, how I was fatherless, and how he became my father. I just walked next to him. I'd walk with him down the quad, just talk to him. Tell him my problems, tell him my issues, tell him the things that are going on in my life, and just let him pastor me and mentor me through the Holy Spirit. I was just in love, okay? But here's what I want to let you know, especially for you young believers that are in this room. There's a time when, man, you start to fall head over heels in love with Jesus, right? And man, you hear the sound of some Hillsong music. You're like, bam, right? This is automatic. It's not even a response, it's a reaction. You know what I'm saying? Like boom, I'm gonna get up there as high as I'll get on my tippy toes, I wanna touch heaven, right? Right, so like there's that moment where I'm all about Jesus. Well, we can see by the evidence of scripture in Matthew 3 going into Matthew 4 that even through the principle of Jesus, that he goes from having this Holy Spirit moment, I call it the joy in the Jordan, whenever the Lord speaks to him, the sky cracks open, he says, this is my son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. And then the very next verse going into Matthew chapter 4, he says, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and temptation. And see, what happens for us a lot of times is we have this joy in the Jordan moment, but we don't want to go to the war in the wilderness, right? Jesus has got to call you deeper if he's going to take you into your destiny, right? So he's got to take you into this place that a lot of us are not willing to go because we've never calculated the cost. We've never really talked about it, right? So maybe someone's never really talked about it with you. But I remember I was at UAB, and this was one of those moments, man. I was just in love with, I was running like this because I just loved Jesus, okay? I didn't sleep. I prayed, you know? I'm just all about him. And I remember I was in so many small groups, you can't even believe it. We didn't even call them small groups back then, okay? But I was in small groups with all these people, and I would just listen to people because I just wanted to hear a little bit more about Jesus and who he was. And I remember some of my friends gave me some really good advice, okay, for my young men that have just given their life to Jesus, freshly given their life to Jesus. They said, hey, stay away from girls, okay? And I was like, I like those, you know? Like, and they're like, no, man, you stay away from girls. And I was like, okay. And I just listened to what they said. I really did, man. I was thankful to be discipled and pastored by friends so much in my groups. And they said, hey, stay away from girls. So I did, all right? They'd run up to me, I'd put the cross up. I'm just like, I never did that. But I remember this one time, there was this girl in my communications class, very, very beautiful girl, okay? And I stayed away from her, okay? And I'm laying in bed at night, getting ready to get up to go to work the next morning, and I hear my phone buzz, and I slide up my phone, because back then it wasn't the iPhone. I wasn't sliding it that way, I was sliding it upwards, okay? And it just said, hey, and I didn't recognize the number. And I was like, hey, you know? She gave me her name, and then followed by another text that said this, I want you to come over. And I was like, okay, maybe, like, let's think about this, all right? Like, maybe she just wants to talk, right? And then another side of me, the Holy Spirit said, she don't want to do no talking, okay? And I'm sitting there going back and forth, like, man, should I just go? Maybe I can tell her all about Jesus and she'll get saved right there and it'll be awesome. I knew if I went over there, we weren't gonna talk about Jesus, okay? I wouldn't even know who that is, right? And so I'm sitting there, really honestly, at a crossroads in my life. I mean, I say it very funny now, it was a crossroads in my life, and I made one of the best decisions of my life. I called my buddy Hunter. And I was like, hey, Hunter, hey, I'm gonna need you to talk me off a cliff, out of a tree. I'm out here doing wind sprints around my house right now, trying to figure out like what I should do. Let me tell you what has happened. And I remember him just like speaking into me saying, man, hey, you've told me about what God's called you to. You've told me about who God's called you to. You've told me some incredible things, and I've watched you just worship and pursue Jesus. Don't give up what God is ministering to you for one moment, right? And I remember, I mean, really honestly, for a young man, we got young men sitting down here, I think they would tell you the same thing, is that very, very difficult decision. But I chose to listen to the person that was discipling me. And maybe you don't think that's appropriate to be talked about in church. Well, I don't think it's fair that the enemy's picking off our young men left and right through sexual immorality, so I'm not afraid to talk about it, right? So, if the devil will be loud about his sin, we'll be louder about our Savior and the ways that we can approach him. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I say all that to really bring this to you. Calculate the cost of the decision you wanna make, whether or not you should join a small group or not. You know, we sit up here all the time and we put up videos on DC Campus News and we train our teams and equip our teams to talk about small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups, small groups. We talk about small groups literally all the time. We always say that could be a small group. In the middle of our conversations, we say it all the time. That could be a small group. The reason why we say you should join a small group isn't so you can just have some good friends and join a clique inside of our church. No, it's so whenever the enemy comes to try and cut your legs and your destiny out from under you, you have a safe place to reach out to. That's why we do small groups. And some of you, you've been calculating the cost. Well, man, I have to give up a night. I want to sit on the couch. But we all know these moments are coming. We all know that the enemy is alive in this day, trying to take the destiny and the purpose away from people. And the only way that we can defend against that, our defense, is people, right? And so you've got to calculate the cost of what do you want to do? Live a life in isolation or live a life of relationship with people, right? So moving on. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. What does it mean to truly follow Christ? What does it mean that there is a cost? Many believers or so-called believers blend into the world to avoid the cost of standing up for Jesus. To truly be a disciple of Christ or a follower of Christ, it takes willingness, sacrifice, careful planning, and unwavering commitment to Christ and his kingdom. The cost is high, but the reward is so great. What are ways that looks like? It could look like a breakup. It could look like a different job. It could look like even in some places, it may be coming to here is death. To say, Jesus, when I say you have my life, I don't just mean my tithe. I don't just mean my things and my possessions. When I say you have my life, I mean that you gave up your life, so I'll give up mine. You can have everything. The cost begins with us. If we want to truly follow Christ, we have to put our selfish desires to death. Death is never fun. You've never seen death in anything easy. Death, in most instances, is pretty painful. But here's what I want to let you know, church. If you want to experience life, you've got to die. If you want to experience the most life that you can through the power and miracle works of Jesus, you've got to die to you. You've got to be willing to put down everything and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Why? Because he laid down everything to say, humanity, I'm yours, right? So with that, all of us have deep sin that lurks within us and that wants out. And when we give into the flesh and respond in the situation or a person in our selfishness, or in our selfish ways, it ends in death one way or the other. But because the Holy Spirit lives in us and desires to carry his nature, he begins to show us these things and desires us to stop it. Because when we respond to the situation or person in the Spirit, it always brings life. you've seen it over and over in your own life, and you've seen it over and over in other people, that whenever we choose what we're really feeling in that moment, what we really feel like we want to do right now, usually, if not every time, we always make the wrong decision. Case in point, when the light of the world comes on, I know it as the hot and now sign of Krispy Kreme, okay? Call it the light of the world, right? I know there's over 2,000 calories in a dozen box of donuts there, hot now, okay? But it says now, right? And what I want and what my flesh is saying is I want it now, but we can't give up what we want now for the cost of what God has called us to later, right? We can't buy into the enemy, because you're gonna see the enemy do this over and over and over again. He wants you to buy into now instead of giving up what he's called you, what God has called you into for later. It's a biblical principle. In fact, death in and of itself looks like this. The Holy Spirit always brings us to a place of making a choice. And so you gotta love Jesus for this. Is that he doesn't just say, all right, just go out there and do it. No, he helps guide us, but he guides us through our own choice. He says this, if we choose the Spirit, then we choose life. And if we choose the flesh, then we choose death. When we say no to the flesh and yes to God, we are putting our selfishness to death and our flesh to death. Death to self can be summed up in one word, obedience. I put my flesh to death because I love Jesus and desire to carry his nature. Some of you in here, it's just time to start saying yes to God again. Yes is an attitude more than it is a word. Yes is just a physical choice more than it is just you speaking it. To say yes to God and say, God, I'm here in obedience. And what it looks like is you becoming more of a mature believer. And here's what it looks like to become a more of a mature believer. In verse 5 and verse 8 that we just read in Colossians, it gives us a list of sins that look like there are two different types of sin. He says in verse 7, you used to do these things. And now in verse 8, Paul says, get rid of those things. In my life, I can remember these two types of sins, right? We call them outward versus inward sins. Everybody say outward.
Outward.
Inward.
Inward.
And here's how you can see it. The outward sins really look like this: sexual immorality, partying, drunkenness, filthy language. Michelle, I'm just playing. But you can kind of tell, like the outward sins, you can kind of tell someone that's just living in the outward sin, right? It's just kind of evident, and it's just kind of out there. And what happens so many times is that we come in and we'll do the Jesus thing up until a point where we decide we calculate the cost. We don't go to the outward sins anymore. We feel like we've defeated those. We feel like we've disciplined those things. And maybe you've said, well, I don't do those things anymore. I quit doing that a long time ago, and I quit doing this, and I dropped this, and I dropped this. There's a problem with that. You keep saying, I. Because once you start getting to the inward, you can't win. You can't do it. You have to have Jesus. Such a cool journey with God. Because here's what I've learned, and Stephen, you can go ahead and come on back out. Here's what I've learned is that He really values the inward more than what you express outwardly. He really values your soul more than what you can discipline yourself to do as a Christian. It's not about your discipline. It's about your trust. It's not about what you can do for yourself. It's about what you can hand over to God. For some of you, man, maybe that's where you're at today, to say, God, I'm really just ready to just hand you everything. The inward sins look like this: envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, anger, my rights, impatience, wrong motives, gossip, and slander. You know, the things that we don't ever just really talk about. I called my buddy that night and talked about a struggle with sexual immorality and how I was entertaining the idea. It took me a long time to ever call him and talk about bitterness, unforgiveness, and the hatred that I really had down inside my soul for somebody that I never really want to express. And Jesus cares about the inward. He cares about those outward things. You gotta hear me on that. But what he wants to do is he wants to go to the inward part of you so he can show you who you were originally made to be. Some of you, you've ran from your identity as much as you've ran from Christ. You've ran from your purpose. You know, a lot of times we can get up here as preachers, you know, like we can just start using words very easy. that can kind of get people riled up and get church people like, yeah, you know, and I can get up here and tell you about your purpose, and I can get up here and talk about passion, and they're usually P words, right? And so I can get up here and talk about how God has a plan for your life, but a lot of times what we do is we negate to talk about the process to that plan that God wants to take you through. The best part about following Jesus is the process. But you got to be willing to give up everything to gain everything in Him. You got to be willing to say, Jesus, this is all yours, and give Him your whole life. Not most of it, not half of it, not some of it, but all of it. God cares more about the inward than He does the outward. But you've got to calculate the cost. What is it today? What am I going to give? What am I willing to give up for God to show up? What am I willing to give up for God to do something in my life? What am I willing to give up for God to do this miracle that I keep begging Him for? Because He wants to take you on a road, on a journey. You know what I keep realizing with Jesus? It sounds so, like I'm smiling about it, but it sounds so hard. Is that the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize I've got a long ways to go. The closer I get to Him, the further I feel like I have to go as a human. And it almost sounds kind of defeating, doesn't it? But you know what I've realized? Is that I've got a road to go down with Jesus. The further I have to go, I have someone to go with me. I have a dad that can father me like no other father. I have a friend that can be with me and support me in no way than any human can. I have someone so in love with me. Scripture says He was so in love to go with me in my deepest, in my darkest days. So when I count the cost and I choose Jesus, I know I have someone, I have the one to go with me. The question is, what are you willing to give up for God to show up? Are you willing to go through the pain of dying to yourself to get to the purpose of what God's called you to? See, a lot of times what we really think of Jesus is He's just a friend with some benefits. I can just go to Him when I want to, and everything will be good and everything will be great. He's not a friend with just some benefits. He is the benefit. For some of you in here, here's what I want to let you know, because this goes to all spectrums. If you don't know Jesus, today it's time to start walking. Just keep walking. For some of you in here, maybe, man, you're at a place where you're fresh in love with Jesus, and just this whole life with Him, and this whole worship experience and the church thing is good and great and everything. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for the wilderness. Maybe you embrace the wilderness. Maybe you don't back down from the wilderness. Man, I'm just in a wilderness time. Praise God you're in a wilderness time, because God's teaching you more now than you are if you were on the mountaintop, right? Maybe it's time to say, God, hey, if you're ready, I'm ready. I'll walk. Or maybe you're in that dry wilderness time. You know what happened at the end of Matthew chapter 4? Jesus began His ministry. Maybe it's time for you to start walking in your purpose. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Maybe that's why you've just sat in a chair, but now it's time for you to stand up for who Jesus is. Maybe plug into a team. Maybe it's time to lead that group. We try to give a practical application of what that looks like, so you can just keep walking. No matter who you are in this room, just keep walking. Calculate the cost and just keep walking. Why? Because Jesus just kept walking to the cross for you. See, He's the innocent man, the innocent Lamb of God. The man who had raised people from the dead, blind people had seen again, deaf people hear again, lame people can walk again. And He raises people from the dead. What does He do? He chooses death. Just like we have to choose to die to ourselves. He just kept walking. When they were beating Him, mocking Him, scorning Him, making fun of Him, putting a crown of thorns on His head, beating Him with a cat of nine tails, what did He do? Even when He was down in His weakest moment, what did He do? He just kept walking. To the point where He bears His cross, He walks up to the hill of Golgotha, Calvary. He just kept walking. On a cross, He died bore our sin, past, present, and future, anything, our monument of mistakes would turn into a ministry of healing. He bore it onto his flesh. And on the cross, he died. But what did he do? 3 days later, victoriously, he got up and he just kept walking so that you could just keep walking. The power of the cross, the victory of Jesus Christ is real and alive today, just like it was 2,000 years ago when he rose up from the grave. So you could just keep walking. This journey that you're on, it's time for you to get up and just keep walking. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this place. God, I thank you that you've called us just to keep walking, Father. And I pray that no matter what, Lord, whether we are on a dead sprint, Father, it's just step by step or baby step by baby step, or even if we're crawling, Jesus, we'd make the decision to walk closer to you. And if that's you today, you haven't given your life to Jesus, you just heard the miracle story of Jesus Christ. You know why he just kept walking? Because he was so in love with you. Because he couldn't stand for you to do this life alone anymore. So that he walked down from heaven to this earth so that you may have life. And scripture says life more abundant. But what you have to do in this moment is choose to die to yourself and say, God, I lay down everything. I choose to make you Lord of all. Not Lord of most, not Lord of half, not Lord of some, but Lord of all. I lay down my rights. I lay down everything, Jesus, and I commit today to just keep walking with you. And today, if you're ready to make the bold declaration that Jesus Christ is my Lord and you want to hand your life over to him, I'm going to ask after I count to three that you would raise your hand just so you could acknowledge it, so that I could see it and help you give you some steps as you just keep walking. So one, Jesus loves you. Two, he is pursuing you. And three, if you want to give your life over to him, would you slip your hand up so I can see it? Amen, 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 amen. Balcony. Amen. I got one in the back. Amen. Come on. Take it. For the one that raised their hand, maybe for the one that didn't, it's time for you to begin your journey with Jesus. And that starts with a prayer, but it's not the prayer that saves you, it is the person of the prayer. The Bible says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. So why don't we do that? Hand your heart over to him. It goes something like this: Jesus, I need you. Lord, I'm at the end of my rope, and I need you to pick me up. Lord, I repent of my sins. I repent of my ways. I repent of my selfish desires. And God, I accept you into my heart and into my life. Jesus, be Lord. Have everything. God, because I give you everything. And if you were the one that just raised your hand, or maybe for the ones that have or want to make that decision, there's a couple of steps for you to just keep walking. There's your connection card in your seat right there. If you could, do us a favor, please fill out that connection card in just a little while. We're going to dismiss this service, and if you can, please take that connection card to our info bar, and at that info bar, we're going to give you some material. We're going to give you a Bible. We're going to give you some next steps, plans. We're going to tell you about groups and baptism so you can just keep walking. And for everyone in here, including the one that's holding the microphone, if you're in here today and you're saying, Travis, there's some areas in my life I need to die to myself. I've calculated the cost. And there's some areas I need to give back to God, and I need to just keep walking. I would love, love, love to pray for you. If you could just slip your hand up so I could boldly, yes, yes, yes. Amen. All across this room. So Jesus, yeah, with every bold hand that has been raised, Jesus, I pray for your spirit to be poured out over them, God. Father, pour out your spirit over our church, God, as you mobilize us to this mission of seeing everybody rebuilt, restored, and revived in Jesus, God. But to see everyone rebuilt, restored, and revived, Jesus, there's areas in our life you've got to rebuild, restore, and revive, Jesus, so we can just keep walking. God, we love you and we're so thankful for you on this Father's Day, and it's in your name that we pray. And everybody said,
amen, amen. Guys, can we-